Hey everybody, Rob here with an important message as we head into this Thanksgiving holiday season. I want to make sure that none of you guys come down with a case of severe gastrointestinal distress like my good friend Stephen Fishback, worrying about getting to the department stores this upcoming Black Friday and holiday season, because we've got you covered when you do your shopping on Amazon.com. First, you get the best deals on everything you need there on Amazon. They've got all of the best, latest toys and everything that you want to get for everybody that you have to buy gifts for. And you get to support Rob Has a Podcast, which is greatly appreciated with everything that we're doing over here. So just go ahead, start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Purchase anything you want just the way you would. You don't pay anything extra, and it goes to help keeping these podcasts coming. For our friends in Canada, use the link robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA.
Though Stephen is not around, you still have to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor, no it owes.
Yes, that's right. It's the world famous Survivor Know-It-Alls. It's the night before Thanksgiving. And boy, do we have a show for you, Josh Wiggler.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. That was intense. That was intense. A lot has happened. Very big night for the RHAP community.
What a night, boy.
This is like the red wedding of RHAP on Survivor.
It really was. It really was. Of course, Sierra goes home in hour number one. Steven looks as though he is going to go home in hour number one. Jeremy Collins plays an idol for him, saves Steven. Steven then in the second hour wins a reward challenge and then plays his advantage, which he had, which was truly...
This is a game changer.
A game changer indeed. Yes. It was. And now
it turned out to be a disadvantage, as he said.
Turned out to be not so nice for Stephen Fishback, who becomes the latest player voted out of the game. And Josh, when we came into this two-hour night, we said, boy... Night before Thanksgiving, two-hour episode. This is like the old like news cycle dump when they just like, okay, let's just throw something that we want to get out there on a Friday.
Fire Brian Williams on a Friday, something like that.
Right. Figured that this is probably going to be two dud episodes here, or maybe one dud episode and then maybe a good one, because then that's why we're putting two episodes. It was maybe the two best episodes of the season here tonight.
It was intense. It was complicated. There's a lot going on. Betrayals, new alliances built, a challenge record in the making. The ball or the flag or the block was dropped, however you want to say it. Certainly seemed like this would be the night for Joey Amazing's torch to get snuffed. But no, the last person in Second Chance who had never been voted out of the game has now been voted out of the game. And it is our man, Stephen Fishback. And we will have a ton to say about that. It was an epic night of Survivor.
So here's what we need everybody to do. If you're watching us live here on Wednesday night, you might be okay, but you may want to just sort of like start to text some people that you're going to see tomorrow. I might be running late because this could go long. If you're watching this tomorrow, just update your Facebook status. Call grandma. You're busy. We've got a lot to get through here tonight.
Yeah, it's like there'll be leftovers. You know, there will be leftovers. You will eat leftovers. You could watch the leftovers when you're done with your turkey. But for now, it's Survivor is your meal. Know-It-Alls is going to be the plate and we're going to serve it to you.
Thanksgiving is canceled.
Canceled. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Survivor overload. Talking about turkey overload.
Survivor overload. Okay. So again, this is a weird little bit of a pr- procedure here in these next couple of days because of the holiday. So it sort of interrupts the whole flow of the schedule. Normally we'd have exit interviews the following day. CBS is going to be closed on Thursday and Friday, and that's going to push everything into Monday. So on Monday, we will get you your Survivor exit interviews with Sierra and the homecoming of sorts for Stephen Fishback. We will talk to him as well. Josh Wigler as well. We'll do exit interviews. You could read those at robinsonwebster.com/parade for what Josh is writing for parade.com. And then for our recap and voicemail show, Tyson Apostle. And this was actually a great booking of Tyson this week because we have two people that Tyson played with and knows particularly well.
Yeah, Sierra and Fishback. Yeah, that's big. Yeah. That's really big. So this will be a great podcast. I can't wait for that.
So that, and that's going to be recorded on Friday, this upcoming Friday. So I'm going to take Thanksgiving Day off, sort of digest this, have some time to watch this episode another time or two. And then I will do a very lengthy podcast and voicemails with Tyson, and make sure you get those voicemails in over the next couple of days as you are sort of replanning your Thanksgiving festivities now, around this.
You and Tyson try to go long as you can on these. What's the time? What are you predicting? What's the early estimate on this time of the podcast?
You know, it's
7 hour podcast. Is that doable?
I don't know. I would say at least three plus, probably heading towards four. It's, wow. You know, there's a lot going. We both have now small children. So there could be some constraints on our time.
Bring them along. Everyone wants to meet the kids.
Yes. All right. So we've got so much to get to. And Josh, really, I feel like that I'm ready to get into Evolution of Strategy Volume 4 tonight as well.
Yeah, I'll call up Marty Piombo again and see if we can borrow his time travel machine. Yeah, I know. There's so much to unpack. There's just a ton of stuff. But no, let's know it all it up first. Let's get into it right now.
All right. So, well, so much going on. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into talking about this episode here's what we want to do. I think let's talk about the headline here. Let's talk about Stephen going home, but then I want to sort of go back and revisit a couple things from the past, because I think it would not make as much sense to sort of talk the Stephen vote to death before we then talk about the Jeremy vote from the first hour.
I am totally with you there. So let's go back. Let's start with Stephen, and then let's go back to everything that happened in episode 9.
Okay. So ultimately, where do we start? No, with Stephen and splitting the vote. This is a long running conversation that has been had on the Survivor Know-It-Alls show over splitting the vote. And Stephen has always been more bullish on splitting the vote. Josh, were you quite sure why the vote needed to be split on Abby Maria?
It seemed like there was a lot of idol paranoia. It seemed like idol paranoia had seeped in once again. At this point now, two idols have been played. Wentworth had her fantastic idol play a couple episodes earlier. Jeremy, in the first episode of tonight, had played his idol. And we heard a lot of people wondering, does Joe have an idol? Who has an idol? There was a lot of fear about that. So I think that's why they want to split the thing this time. As for why it's being split on Abby, we're seeing shades of, you know, the Brazilian dragon again in this episode. Hurricane Abby was back, where she was even in Spencer's face, where she was saying to Spencer, like, I don't know, are you cool? I'm keeping it cool. What about you, bro? So she's showing signs of the old Abby. She'd been Purple Abby for the past several weeks, and now she's kind of active. The volcano is about to erupt again. And so maybe Fishback and Jeremy and these people are like, well, if we have to lose somebody, Abby has shown that she's kind of a toxic person to work with. So she's the person to split these votes on. So if it can't be Joe, let's get rid of Abby, because at least someone like Kelly Wentworth is amenable to plans and alternate paths and things like that. And who knows what the Jeremy and Kelly relationship is like from San Juan del Sur. We haven't seen much of that on the show. So I think that's where they're coming from.
And the irony of all ironies is that she becomes the swing vote here at Final 9 and then ultimately casts her vote against Steven and really...
With me, your dad.
Yeah, and it was true once again.
Yeah. You don't cross Abby Maria. With that logic, she could win this thing.
Yeah, she really could be. So, Josh, tell me, in terms of what Stephen did and splitting the votes up here, was this a major blunder? Was this this is sort of asking a lot for him to have known that Spencer was flipping against him?
Right. Yeah. I mean, exit interviews are not canon, so I don't know what we say about tweets. But Stephen has already broken silence on Twitter, and he said that he definitely effed up, but his eff up was a classic Survivor eff up of trusting the wrong person. And he trusted Spencer. If Spencer's tight, If Spencer, if JSS is still alive, if that threesome is still intact and you still trust Spencer, then this move works. They get Joe out on the revote. Spencer was not to be trusted. The know-it-all could not trust Mr. Survivor in the end, and yet he did.
Well,
and it killed him.
That's the interesting part of all this. It really is. And it was a blindside to me as well, because again, I didn't really talk too much strategy with people in the pregame. And I know that Steven had said to me in the pregame that if he ends up on a tribe with Spencer, he'd be good. He was very eager to work with Spencer. I didn't have any sort of pregame strategery talk with Spencer about who he trusted and who he didn't. And I really wonder, we didn't really see throughout the game where the young lad felt about Steven. We saw them in a group, the three guys, but we never really saw Spencer talking about his thoughts on Steven, which was always sort of, I felt like, an interesting omission from the show. But I just felt like it was like, oh, they're just being so nerdy talking to each other, and that's why it just wasn't making for good TV. But maybe Spencer had Steven on his hit list from a ways back.
Yeah, who knows? He's been planning this all along. Oh, man, the Bledsoes send their regards. It was an intense betrayal.
It really was.
And it really did only manifest in this episode that Spencer had some sort of chip on his shoulder about fish. I didn't know where it came from. It seemed to come out of nowhere, and then it turned into bloodshed against Stephen Fishback.
All right.
So, yeah.
Spencer votes out a know-it-all. Is Spencer the worst Mr. Survivor ever?
Well, first off, where's the belt?
Where's the belt? No,
if he knows where the belt is. I think he's.
I'm teasing. I really am surprised that Spencer was that anti-Steven. It really was a blindside to me. I didn't get that at all from Twitter or from anything. It really was such a left turn for me.
Right. But I mean, you know, call it disingenuous, whatever you want to say about Steven's exit from the game where he says, great move, great blindside. It seems to me, and knowing Fishback, I think that he's the kind of guy who can compartmentalize it and call it a game and is probably fine with Spencer. Maybe not. Who knows? Maybe that's a really awkward relationship right now. But it doesn't seem like there's any residual tension between the two over that. But who knows? Maybe. What do you think, though, in terms of, yeah, we didn't see it coming. We didn't know that Spencer had such a grudge against Fishback or had his eye on Fishback and really wanted to get him out. Maybe it comes down to the fact that Steven just kept beating him by this much in these, you know, in the reward challenge.
In the
swimming race for the advantage. But from Spencer's perspective, can you sort of warg into Spencer and figure out why he was so anti-fish?
No, I really don't know, unless he felt like that, oh, if Steven wasn't around, then I'd be Jeremy's number one. And maybe it was sort of like a love triangle. And I don't mean in any sort of romantic way, but the whole, you know, if Steven's not there, then I move up a peg and I could be in good with Jeremy. Spencer also seemed to, if he said, if it's not Steven, then it's Tasha. So it's not even like that he wanted to be with Tasha too. Maybe he just felt like that he had too much respect for what Steven was doing. And again, we talked about that Steven had this advantage. And I wonder if maybe that was the tripwire where once Steven gets that advantage and Spencer comes out of Survivor Cagayan, where Tony had the mystery power, the Tyler Perry idol. And again, that was the reason why Spencer went out of that game, was because not understanding Tony's advantages, and you never could take a shot at Tony. Maybe that just set off the tripwire for Spencer of Steven has to go once he got that advantage.
Interesting. So he just couldn't let any bag of tricks lie. He had to burn the bag and burn the guy holding the thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to go back in time, though, a little bit, because I feel like I want to come into this episode. We had last week where there was the big move to take out Kelly Wigglesworth, where JSS was born. Jeremy, Spencer, Steven decide to, instead of take out one of the witches, they're going to go ahead and take out Kelly Wigglesworth at that vote. And we talked about, oh, this really shakes things up. And can you trust Hocus Pocus? And now you got rid of Kelly Wigglesworth and she was an ally of Joe. I feel like, Josh, 100% in hindsight, that was a terrible move to take out Kelly Wigglesworth.
On whose part? All three of them.
Okay. Jeremy, Spencer, maybe not so much for Spencer, considering where he's ended up now with all this. Like, if Spencer was sort of like the turncoat the whole time, then that sort of was a good thing that he was able to sort of, like, he ends up sort of coming out on top. Jeremy is in a much more, in a worse position. that he has seriously hurt his position in the game after all this. His trusted ally, Steven, is gone. He had to spend an idol. He had to sort of expose himself as a person who was standing. Like, he sort of, if this new majority holds true, Jeremy and Tasha could be the next two people out of the game.
Well, Jeremy does have that second idol.
He does, so, but
he has Val's second idol in his pocket. So if he plays that, then he's okay.
But
for
he had
a little
to spend
while.
One. He had to spend one on Final 10. And what we were saying about that, where if they kept that eight strong with the Kelly Wigglesworth thing, it to me it seemed like that made more sense for Jeremy to sort of like, okay, I've got two idols. Let me just sort of just, you know, run out the clock here. Let me vote out.
Right.
Let me vote out Sierra. Let me vote out Kelly. Let me vote out Abby. Let me get it down to final eight. And then once Jeremy only has to go two more votes, and then he could play his idol at 6 and 5.
Yeah, ultimately, it was probably too cute, as you would probably like to call it. That's what you like to say. I think it was a little cute. It was great for us. It was great for us. Too hot. It was hot. It was a hot move, not gameplay-wise, but television-wise. So I'm glad it happened. But I think that you're right. I think that we're seeing now Jeremy, he had to spend an idol to save his buddy Fishback. And in the end, Fishback just goes home 3 days later.
Yeah. So, was it a final destination, Josh?
A little bit. Yeah. I think that the bullets were coming Fishback's way. Yeah. Not great. Not great. So, yeah, Jeremy is in a tough spot. I mean, but two of the people that he had, quote unquote, betrayed in that move, in the JSS teaming up with Hocus Pocus move, Tasha and Kimmy, are still totally good with Jeremy. So you know, that's fine, but Spencer really, you know, this has shaken the game up so that Spencer could really swing over to a new group. So it may have been really, it was obviously, it led to Fishback's demise ultimately, and for Jeremy, not so great. But I don't know that I would go as far as to say that this was a catastrophic move for Spencer, who is now looking pretty good.
So I think it's actually good for Spencer, because I think that Spencer is somebody who is sort of an outsider who now, because that what Jeremy and Steven did, who were sort of in control of things in that eight, I feel like they sort of just like destabilized everything. And that was bad for them because they were the establishment. And Spencer was more of an outsider. And right. I think that by things being, you know, unstabilized now, there's room for him to bounce around. It feels a little bit kind of like, you know, where I was in the Amazon with sort of like Roger is out and Dina is out and Alex is out. Now I can really move around here. There's not going to be as many people to stop me. And I feel like that things have sort of like gone where Spencer now has a lot of room to he has good relationships with everybody.
Don't you think that this is also kind of the danger of the voting block idea, or at least being so public and outspoken and vocal about it, of like, yeah, it's short-term loyalty. It's not about long-term loyalty. And when you're Steven and you're saying that to a guy like Spencer, eventually, if you're Spencer, don't you think like, well, maybe I could just, you know, go to a different voting block and get out Fishbach, and he's not going to be so mad at me at the end of the thing because it's the name of the game right now.
No, Spencer's a smart guy. He came out of a season that was all about this with Tony bouncing back and forth. I don't think that, you know, Steven put a bug in anybody's ear. But, you know, Tasha said tonight, voting block is over.
Voting block is over.
Voting block came and went.
I don't know that felt like the right thing to say at 9. I don't know. I don't know if we want to say like, well, now there's a firm 4 or 5 at this point. That felt like that may have been a little bit of an overplay.
Yeah, it did seem like Tasha and Jeremy were ready to say, no, this is now game over, where you got a stranglehold on the final 5.
Don't say that at the final 9 anymore. You know, the final 9 is one of those spots now.
Yeah. So I think that were the whole Kelly Wigglesworth thing turned out to be a bad move in hindsight, because the other part of that was Kelly Wigglesworth was around and you sort of like, okay, what was Kelly Wigglesworth doing? And then you end up taking out whatever, you know, whether you want to say that they were going to take out Kelly Wentworth the last time, or right. Or whether it was Sierra. I think it was going to be Kelly Wentworth. Kelly Wentworth is a key cog in this vote, which ultimately takes Steven out of the game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, she's leading the charge on that thing. She has, she's definitely at the heart of this thing. I think that she is the person that, you know, Joe is trusting Wentworth. Keith seems to be good with Wentworth. Spencer has history with Wentworth, and I think that he feels comfortable about swinging back to her. She seems to be one of very few people in the game, and maybe the only person in the game that has her thumb on Abby. So yeah, Wentworth's a bit of a kingpin right now. She's kind of the queen of the scene.
Yeah, because with that Kelly Wigglesworth vote, where now they felt like, okay, can we trust the witches? Can we trust Hocus Pocus? And it's like, well, you know, they'll work with us. I feel like they'll work with us. And then the very next vote, Sierra is pounding the table, leading the charge. We have to get rid of Steven. And Kelly Wigglesworth wasn't going to be in that position doing that. And if it wasn't for Jeremy playing his idol, Steven would have gone home immediately the vote after that. So let's get to that second vote now. The vote following the Kelly Wigglesworth vote, which was the first vote of the night, where it ends up that it was going to be where Jeremy is forced to play his idol. And we end up having where Jeremy and Tasha and Spencer and Joe are having this conversation about who they're going to vote for, and where the Jeremy camp wants to take out Sierra, the Sierra camp and the Joe camp want to take out Steven. And that's where Spencer gets involved with this. And it seems like that there was a very civil debate between Jeremy and Spencer about all of this. At what point did you feel like Jeremy was going to play the idol on Steven? Did you see that coming before he stood up?
I mean, I saw it coming because we went to commercial with him saying, Jeff. Well,
no, before that.
Before that, I had figured that everybody was probably just going to be on board with getting rid of Sierra. I thought that the Fishback thing was a misdirect. I thought that Spencer would be cool. I thought that Spencer would still be JSSing. I thought that he'd be fine. I thought that he'd still be locked in and sticking to that plan. I thought that he would have acquiesced to Jeremy. I was really surprised that Jeremy knew what the score was and that he had to play the idol. And, you know, going to commercial on that with him saying, Jeff told me that Sierra was going to be toast next. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he's going to play that for Fishback. But yeah, I didn't know it until that moment where he says, Jeff, and we go to commercial. I had no sense whatsoever that Steven was that close to the axe. Did you think that he was in that much trouble?
I think that I had somewhere in my notes, like, could Jeremy play an idol on Steven? Like, question mark, just like as a thought that had crossed my head. But that when he actually did it, I was really surprised. You know, Josh, we always talk about on, you know, Rob's a podcast and Survivor Know-It-Alls about people that come back in these returning seasons, come back with a little bit of the essence of the person that won their season. And Jeremy Collins was sitting right there at that tribal council when his girl, Natalie, one of your favorite moments in Survivor history, when Natalie Anderson played the idol for Jacqueline. Did you vote how I told you to vote or whatever she says in that moment? Yeah. And that was like a huge move. And then everybody was like, boy, Natalie's a real badass. I got to vote for her. And Jeremy borrows that move here at final 10.
Yeah. Fishy, did you vote for who I told you to vote for? that was really hot too. I got to be honest. Jeremy Collins. Woo.
Yeah.
But pulling a little bit of a trick out of the Natalie Anderson playbook.
Yeah. So that was extremely impressive in practice. Did you feel like, and we talked about this so much back in the evolution strategy with the three amigos and, well, you know, Malcolm playing his idol for his bros at a similar point in the game, is Jeremy better off moving forward in the game with two idols, or is he better off with Steven in the game and one idol?
I think, you know, if he feels really confident in Tasha, Kimmy, and Spencer and being able to pull those people in together with himself and Steven, if he feels really tight with that group and that he can move forward, I think that Jeremy feels really good that Steven would have his back, especially after something like this. And I think that he feels like he could beat Steven. So I get that, but that might be playing for the win too soon. You know, that might be at that point, you've got two idols. You could probably afford to lose Steven. You lost this philosophical battle. Sierra sticks around. There's going to be momentum against a Sierra or a Joe next. I think, you know, hindsight being what it is, maybe you let the fishy fly at that point instead of playing the idol. But what's your take? Do you think that he goofed by playing the idol on him, or do you think that he did exactly what he should have done in that?
I don't have a strong take on it. I don't want to say it was a bad move, but I also don't want to say it was a great move. It was a certainly exciting television, but that's at final 10. There's so much game left to play. And I feel like if your allies, if the group of people that you're aligned with in Tasha, in Spencer, if those are your closest allies, I think that you sort of have to, you know, cut bait on the fish.
You got to set it free. Maybe. And the other piece of it, too, being that if you're playing this idol, not only do you no longer have two idols, which is so valuable the further and further you go, especially if you're not the guy going that night, Now you also know that you're putting that back into the game.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, it's not like that wouldn't be necessarily a guarantee for everybody, but Jeremy found an idol that was returned to the game after Wentworth had played hers. So he knows where this thing is going to go. And so that idol that he's just used has now gone into enemies' hands. So that's not great. That's kind of bad.
Yeah. I did a podcast with Boston Rob. I think it was during Survivor Blood versus Water. And it was around the time that I think Sierra actually went home in that game. And I believe it was Rob that said, you know, the biggest advantage of having the idol is that you know that nobody else has the idol. And then right. And it goes back into circulation now. And ultimately, Kelly Wentworth, who's not somebody who's on Team Jeremy, she ends up getting her hands on it. So now the thing I do like about it, though, is once Jeremy played that idol, nobody's thinking he's got another idol, right?
Right.
I do like that. That's
well, I mean,
good.
The way that he was talking to Spencer, where he said to Spencer, like, I would do the same for you. I would do the same for you. Like, makes you think, like, is he saying that, like, if that happens again, he'll do it for me? Does he have another idol? But no, I think you're right. I think that who would suspect that Jeremy has two idols, let alone the one? So I do think that that idol that he does still have is probably pretty buried in his pocket.
Yeah. All right. So this is all great sort of setup for what happens in the second hour. And again, that was, I feel like I hate that we were giving this first tribal council the short shrift here because there's so much great stuff.
Well, before we move on, can we talk a little bit about Sierra, who has been on the bottom for several weeks? She seemingly is going to every single reward and always talking about how rewards are great opportunities to strategize. I felt a little sad that she wasn't on the reward in the second half of the episode because I was getting so used to that. Sierra's out of the picture. Is it because she drew the bad rock because she didn't compete in this challenge, or what's the eulogy for Sierra, if you've got one right?
Well, Sierra hasn't had the best of luck with rocks in her Survivor career. She's going for it, but she has not had the best of luck with rocks. No, I hate that narrative. I hate that, like, oh, this was a $1 million decision with that white rock versus the black rock thing. Because, if anything, that this was the opposite of the thing that we've seen so many times in Survivor of, okay, are you going to eat or are you going to compete? And going back to Survivor Blood versus Water, Sierra was one of the people that did choose to eat rather than compete. So, like, we have that sort of, like, backstory on a couple of these people that we know they're going to, like, they're going for comfort instead of competing. Like, back in Token Sheens, when Steven comes back from Exile Island and is similarly in rough shape at that point, and him and JT and Coach are the only people that are eating when everybody else is doing a competition. Like, when people have made that decision before you, you kind of knew where their head was going to be at in this thing. But no, Sierra wasn't going to beat Joe in the immunity challenge.
No, she wasn't. And honestly, I think that given the conditions that we saw in this episode, that these people lived, that brought Stephen Fish back to, you know, tremendous amount of tears and gastrointestinal distress and all of this stuff, it looked really bad out there. It looked really difficult. And I can't begrudge those people for choosing to live rather than die.
Yeah.
And, you know, get yourself, you know, housed, rely on the fact that you can outsmart your way to survive this next tribal council and you'll be able to reap the benefits of a positive shelter. Because if you have to play with that shelter, if you have to play with that camp life, no one's going to have fun. No one's going to think clearly. So I think you got to take that gamble.
Did you think that was too much of a bailout that Survivor came in and built them a new house?
No, I don't, because I think, you know, it's no one wants to see these people die on television. That would really be great if we could avoid that. You know, it was obviously starting to inhibit gameplay a bit to the point that it was raining so badly that people couldn't get out of the shelter. So you want to be able to, create some good television. You want to keep these people healthy and happy to some extent. And I think that it was, you know, it was a fair way of doing it. Everybody has a shot of sitting out of this thing. Obviously, Joe's going to play. I love that Keith played. But it's also, it's not like a Karor Oolong situation where Karor wins a challenge and that tribe that's already kicking so much butt now gets the greatest shelter in Survivor history. And one of these tribes is just absolutely effed. Everybody in the game benefits from this great shelter. So I'm fine with it. If you want to call it a little bit of a bailout, whatever. I don't want to watch them, you know, get tortured to death. I'm happy with them having an actual roof over their heads. I think it's fine.
I just thought that this was so interesting because we have the eat versus compete, which is the thing that we've seen, where the selfish decision is sitting out of the competition and right. eating. And so, like, we've seen this, you know, so many times in Survivor history. The one that comes to mind is the one from Survivor Exile Island, where, you know, Aris is left to compete against Terry Dietz because, and while the rest of his alliance went and ate, and it was up to Aris to have to try to stop Terry, who was like the Joe in this situation. He was like the Joe Brochacho in this situation. But here we have, in this one, the selfless decision is to not compete. And the people that did compete in Joe and Keith are sort of like, hey, these guys are kind of the a-holes.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a good subversion. It was a good subversion of that Survivor trope. And I liked that. I liked that a lot. I thought it was clever. I thought that it was a clever twist. And I like that it results in the shelter for these people. I think that they, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about deserve, but I'm glad, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they have a roof over their heads. And I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting, but I don't want to lose track of the Sierra of it all. Do you have a eulogy for Sierra? How do you feel about Sierra in her final few episodes of the game? How do you feel about her final episode of the game? What's the final word on Sierra for now?
Well, I do think that Sierra probably played this thing a little too hard. I feel like that, you know, she was the person who I felt like, and you did too, about how she has a really great skill set for the game. But I do think that she came in a bit too aggressive. I think she came in this game with the reputation of, boy, got to keep an eye on her because she voted out her own mom. And if she's willing to vote out her mom, she's willing to do anything. And I think that she was sort of under the radar for a bit. But then from that first vote before the merge, where as Savage was making her one of the targets, where she didn't really, you know, sit pat with that, she really was, you know, turned up from that point on. And we had the scene where she's telling Andrew Savage, or talking about how Andrew Savage was telling everybody he was trying to vote out Jeremy. And I think that she was sort of in a compromised position from that point on. And I think that she probably made herself out to be a little bit too much of a free agent to everybody, of like, hey, you want to do something? Sure. I'll do anything. Right. I'm crazy. I'll vote anybody out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's got a plan? Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. So I think there was probably a little too much, where I think that maybe some people might have felt a little bit worried about trusting her. That being said, you know, I think what it ultimately the damage was that it made her a target of the votes coming from the from the Jeremy and the Stevens, and she ends up getting idled out of the game. It wasn't that she was on the wrong side of the numbers, but I feel like that eventually her number was going to be up. But she did, and she was seen as the person who was the glue in the witches. And then that Kelly and Abby ended up being much harder to wrangle for the following vote. Abby in particular.
She was the Bette Midler of the Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
She was the ringleader.
Yes.
But she was on the right side of the numbers, as you said. And it really does come down to Jeremy playing this baller move for his buddy Steve. So, you know, Sierra had come from this position where she should have been very, very likely should have been one of, if not the first person voted out after Cass. And she made it a couple more rounds. And I think a lot of that is with siding with the right people and being, you know, seen as flexible enough to be someone that you can play the game with if it's time to subvert the numbers and take out some people who you used to trust or even never really trusted that at all, but had been working with. And now it's time to, as you've said, cut bait. So I think good on Sierra. She got idled out of the game. I do think that she painted a bit of a target on her back by being vocal, but I think almost everybody in this game has some measure of a big target on their back. So what are you going to do? Yeah. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a fun exit for Sierra. So I just want to give her a little bit of a salute before we move on to episode two, which was a terrific episode.
Yeah, she's a really strong player. I hope she gets a chance to play again. I think I would probably try to coach her into just like, just let it come to you a little bit more. Don't be so much trying to, move the pile yourself so much, because I think it sort of like makes you into somebody. Boy, she's a rabble rouser. We got to get her out of the game because she's causing trouble.
Got it.
So then let's go ahead and talk about what happened here with this Steven vote. So we come out of this vote where it was that Steven was going to be the target. He stays. Jeremy played the idol for him. Jeremy then brings Spencer back in and says, hey, I would, you know, play the idol on you as well. And so an interesting thing happens where Steven wins the reward challenge, which we did not see coming because it involved a lot of running around. And it was the return of the Survivor. What do we call this? The folklore challenge? The
yes, Survivor folklore. Folklore. Yeah. Yeah, the Survivor Witch Project. I don't know.
Yeah. And so we had this sort of story, and I have to say, I was loving this when it was on. And that this, I was really excited for this throwback challenge.
It was great. I was very excited in the room as well. I was watching this with my wife, and my parents-in-law are in town, and they were looking at me like I was crazy. Like, why are you so excited about this challenge? It's like, it's Survivor Folklore. They don't do this anymore. So, you know, there have been some throwback challenges this season, but a lot of them recently have been kind of recent throwback. So I really loved seeing the Kerhofer gang really dig deep back into the archives and pull this one out. And I liked the twist of it. I liked adding a third option into the mix. I think really complicated things, and obviously complicating things is that there's an idol clue in the mix as well. So it was a very exciting challenge for historical reasons. And also it had some really cool, clever new school twists to it as well. So this has got to be on the list of best challenges of the season for me.
Yeah, it was great. And it was very fun. And these challenges at night look really great. It's a great look of all the survivors running around at night with the torchlight. Couple of really great things about this. The moment where Steven shows up with Abby. I love that the relationship between Steven and Abby Maria. I was talking about it on the podcast on the voicemail show this past week, where we had the point where Steven Fishback was talking about, like, you know, I'm just having like a really low moment right now. And Abby Maria was,
get over it.
I love that relationship. I would totally watch some sort of like romantic comedy about Steven Fishback and Abby Maria. And there was that moment where Steven shows up and Abby Maria's like looking at the question, and Steven like takes the lid off one, and Abby Maria like snatches it and runs away. And Steven's like, it's this one. Sorry, Abby. And she's
wrong.
It
was a good rivalry. It was a good rivalry. Yeah. I mean, to bring up evolution of strategy one more time, we did say in the Token Genes chapter, how Abby was supposedly rumored to be on that season. And we're like, oh, well, what if those two ever played at one point? We didn't know that second chances was a thing that was happening at that point. We got to see Fish and Abby on the same season, and this challenge was really the realization of that dream of what that could look like. It was very, very fun.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I have to say, though, my one complaint on the Survivor Folklore Challenge, I felt like the story was a little dry. Roy Mata, this was not a...
You didn't like the story about King Jeff Varner? King Jeff Varner, man?
Kind of a dry story, I thought.
I like that they brought Varner back into the mix. I'd missed the guy. He's been gone for so long. I like King Jeff Varner, man.
Yeah. I wish that they would have done like back in, you know, that in the island of Borneo, that there was there were only two things. There were snakes and there were rats, and there was a curse on the island. If anybody mocked a snake with a stick, then that person would be voted out at the next tribal council.
I thought that you were going to get really meta and say that it was going to be Survivor Folklore about Rudy biffing the Survivor Blizzard project.
And there was an old wise man named Rudy.
Yeah, and he could only say two words. I don't know.
Yeah. I tweeted Keith Nail, I thought, was the modern day Rudy Bosch.
Well, that would have been really great, because one of the answers potentially could have literally been, I don't know. Like, that could have been a fill in the blank.
All right. So let's then get into the fallout from this reward challenge. So Steven ends up winning and he just beats out Spencer. And this Steven Spencer rivalry is really cooking now. And this really gets under Spencer's skin that he doesn't win this reward challenge. And so then Steven has to pick somebody to go on the reward with him. And Steven immediately picks Tasha. I thought was odd. And Jeremy looked like his head was going to explode.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, he was like...
Yeah. Yeah, he was upset. He was pissed. He was really not happy with Fish.
Yes.
But, I mean, Steven's banking on he's going to get a third pick, and you better pick Jeremy at that point. If you don't pick Jeremy there, you are a moron twice and an idiot at least once.
But is there anything to be said for pick Jeremy first? Like that's the no-brainer. Like, and nobody would, you know, fault him on that one. Is there any, are we overthinking this?
I don't know. I mean, I think ultimately probably you are right that, like, just get Jeremy. Make sure he did save your butt. But if there's one person that he really truly feels he needs to do damage control with, and it's Tasha, and Tasha's the person he needs to bring back to his side, because Tasha had voted against Fishback in the tribal council previous, I get that he wants to prioritize that relationship. That being said, the only reason, as Steven says, the only reason Steven is still in the game at that point is because of Jeremy. So I think you got to pay that kindness back pretty damn quick.
Now, any qualms about it being Tasha? I mean, Spencer also voted against Steven. He has the cop out of the, hey, you came in second in the challenge.
Right. Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe I don't know. I guess Steven, he really seemed to trust Spencer. I don't know. Maybe he felt like that damage control was going to be easier and that Tasha was going to be someone who was a little more insulted with Steven or a little bit more offended with Steven, where it was maybe a little more personal because they did have history going back all the way to the early days of Bion. So maybe it felt like it was going to be more laborious to get Tasha back on the side, and he really needed to spend that amount of time. Whereas with Spencer, maybe it would have been just, you know, an easier, headier conversation with the two of them, kind of famously game body, the two of them. So maybe they could have mind melded on that level.
Oh, man. If Spencer and Steven are going to have some sort of like a public breakup and they're not going to, like, I hope it doesn't get like really awkward where I have to pick sides of who I stay friends with.
Who would you pick? How do you do this?
Josh, neither guy cares enough about.
That's not true. They,
like, you take him. I don't want him. You take him. I don't want to deal with that guy. So then, coming out of this vote, okay. So then we get to our immunity challenge, and it's the old Baylor Wilson Memorial Feet Challenge.
Oh my God! Do you have sticky situation on standby, please?
Yes. It was a piggy situation.
Sticky situation. It's a wiggy situation right now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was great.
For the first time in Survivor Cambodia, Joe is vulnerable to the vote.
Yeah. He had the opportunity to make some or to tie some Survivor history, at least. I mean, he still has the opportunity. If he can win a fifth challenge this season, then he did the Mike Holloway thing. But he could have done the cool, awesome, neat Terry Dietz thing of winning five in a row. That would have been sweet. But no, his feet are not as strong as Spencer's feet. And I'm surprised, because doesn't Stephen Fishback have supposedly monster feet? Shouldn't his monster feet have been able to?
No, they're too big. They've gotten like too monstrous. They were just sort of like he was too clumsy with them.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's just gone way out of control. I loved how Probst was like, Fishback, those feet are prehistoric. Yikes.
Yeah.
All right.
So Spencer ends up narrowly beating out Joe in the first immunity for Spencer. Of course, he won three back in Survivor Cagayan. And so now at the final nine, here we go. It's our odd number, big swing vote, but it seems like an easy vote in that Joe is going to be unprotected, because we have now with Steven, Tasha, Jeremy, Kimmy, that's four on that side. But what we don't realize for those guys is that Kelly Wentworth, who has now found the hidden immunity island, kudos to her for number two on the season.
How did you feel about that whole scene and how that all played out with Kelly having to wait until everybody leaves camp and Abby's just, you know, having too much Abby time around the shelter? It was pretty dramatic, right?
Sneaky.
Yeah.
But good on Kelly for idol number two this season. And again, I feel like that's going to loom large, because I bet nobody thinks that she has another idol. So,
No way.
That's going to be really exciting. And who knows what's going to happen with Kelly's second idol. And so that was a very fun scene with Abby Maria. Abby Maria has been really good on this season too. I don't know if you heard in the voicemail podcast, but even though she ended up being a foil to Steven, I'm back in on Abby Maria this season. I was out for a while.
Well, she'd been out for a while too. It'd been Purple Abby for a while. And I like that we got the return of Hurricane Abby, that Hurricane Abby is once again making landfall in Cambodia. It's a ridiculous, ridiculous Survivor character that truly has close to no shot at winning this thing. But the longer she's on TV, the more volatile this show is, and that's fun. So yeah. I love Abby. She's hilarious.
Okay, so while Steven and Jeremy and Tasha are at reward, Spencer is talking with everybody, talking with, you know, Joe Brochaccio, Kelly, Keith Nail is in the mix. And, you know, for an episode where we had about like a dozen stick to the plans leading up to tribal council, no shot of Keith Nail screwing things up.
No, but I mean, what he had a stick to the plan-ish moment at Tribal Council, didn't he?
When Steven goes to play his vote, and so he's like, okay, I'm going to take the vote, and then Keith is like, wait, so he's got two now? Yeah, yes, Keith.
Yeah, but there was also another great line where he had a line and a cackle, and I think the line was, gotta kill the golden boy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you combine that with stick to the plan, and that's some pretty sinister stuff we're talking about there.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. All right, so on the other side of things, we have Kelly, we have Spencer, we have Joe Brochaccio, we have Keith, And we have Abby Maria, who's sort of the swing vote in the middle. And Abby Maria, while she has no love for Steven, she's also talking about how Joe is really arrogant. And maybe Joe is somebody that she wants to get out of the game. And it was really looking as though Abby did not want to work with Joe. And it seemed like that was going to be the way that she was going to go. But she has this conversation with Steven. And if you watch that secret scene from a week ago, where Abby Maria was talking about how she finds Steven to be very, very awkward.
Right.
And I know that Steven was a little bit contentious about how that was depicted. I thought that was also really, like, it's so confrontational. And anybody who has like this sort of strategy talk with Abby Maria.
Yeah, it's really, this is how it always plays. And I mean, you talk about Steven, you talk about Joe, but you got to talk about Spencer in the mix coming up later in the episode as well.
Sure.
He's trying to be like, Abby, we have to stick to the plan that we talked about yesterday. That's what we're doing. Stop freaking
whatever.
Out.
Whatever. I don't even care. Yeah. I don't even care if I go home now. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm not freaking out. You're freaking out. So there's definitely a lot of that where she was just losing it. She was totally losing it.
Josh, there's a lot of like, no. You're not going home. You're good.
Right.
You're not endangered. Like, oh, sure. Fine. That's exactly what you would say
before you execute me.
Like, no. Everything's fine. You're good. You're with me. We're going to get Steven out.
But she's not sure that she trusts Joe. Like, Abby, you got to trust someone.
Nobody.
Trust no one. Those are her house words.
Yeah.
House Gomez.
Yeah, she trusts.
Up with me, you're dead.
Pete and artist. That's it.
That's it. That's the crew, but they're not here.
They're not here. So
got to find your artist.
Okay. So then we have, so it's going to be what we know is that it's a 4-4 split. Abby Maria is the swing vote. As Steven perceives it, that it's a 5-3 thing. And that Abby Maria it's maybe even a 6-3 thing that Abby Maria is with them, but they're going to split the vote and ultimately put some votes on Abby Maria. Now, in a season where we know, and I know Steven wasn't there, but we have all of the talk about you, Woo, you voted for me 2 times. And of course, Abby Maria.
With me, you're dead.
Is it a wise idea to make Abby Maria the person to split the votes on? Because when you come out of this, Joe is going to be gone. But Abby Maria is going to be a person who could be potentially now weaponized against you.
So who's the better option? Wentworth? Someone like that?
Keith Nail. It's always Keith Nail.
It's always Keith Nail. Why is it always Keith Nail?
What's he going to do?
Better to be the hammer than the nail?
Yeah.
Are we calling Abby a hammer?
I mean, I think in that instance, I mean, who is the person who's most likely to have the super negative reaction? Keith, everybody voted for you, but you didn't go home tonight. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I get it. I get why you did it.
I know.
Yeah, you're saying because the plan is ultimately we're going to sideswipe Joe on this split vote, and then Abby is going to come back to Cam, and she's going to be like, why did you F with me? You're dead.
Yeah, she's like, oh, dead. Because, and then you told me this, and Steven is this, and like, I mean, who wants to deal with that? She's going to be, when you get, vote Abby Maria out, she better go out.
Right. I think that she was obviously just, you know, creating such a tornado of mistrust on that beach that people were just, you know, they didn't know, you know, if there's going to be an idol played and if Joe's going to play the idol, then I would just rather Abby be gone. I think that they're not thinking so much about the night after Tribal of having to deal with Abby. But these are good points for why you don't target Abby if you don't intend for her to be the person to go. If you just intend for her to be, you know, the sponge on the second half of the split. Because she is going to be mad. She's going to be pissed. And that'll be fun to see next week. I mean, there are still people who are going back to camp who cast votes for Abby. Tasha and Kimmy both cast votes for Abby. So you got to imagine that they could be dead next week.
Okay, so now let's get into sort of this idea of Steven tells Spencer now about the plan and the decision to split the vote. The idea to split the vote, Josh, is there a lot of sense in this? Like, was there reason to believe that Joe had one of these idols? Because Jeremy, he has an idol. It's always one of these things where it's like, you know, the old, you know, Ralph Kaiser thing of like, boy, if you could just tell your alliance you have an idol, that sort of helps the group decide not to do the split vote, which could potentially backfire.
Can we not say Ralph Kaiser unless we have to?
Ralph Kaiser Soze, yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, there didn't seem to be much on the show about like why Joe would be the guy who has the idol, but there's so much that's going on this season and any season, but really this season that we're just not seeing. So who knows why they're suspecting that. But in terms of just doing the split, if Spencer is locked with these people, it works. It works. You know, if Spencer is locked, Fishy's still here.
Okay.
But Spencer has his Fishy grudge, and who knows why, but he has it.
Okay, so talk about the advantage. If Joe had the immunity necklace, should Steven have been able to take his vote away? Should the immunity necklace protect you from having your vote stolen?
I don't think so. Do you think so? I mean, I think that the whole point of the thing is you could just take somebody's vote. It's not like you're taking that guy's vote and it's guaranteed that you're voting against the person whose vote you're taking. I think that the immunity necklace doesn't protect you from this particular twist.
Yeah. I kind of felt like it should, but then I feel like then if you get down to like, if it was like, you know, final seven and it was like six people in the alliance and what, and like the Mike Holloway situation, you want to take Mike Holloway's vote away. You should be able to take it away from the person who has immunity. So I guess that's okay. I think that Steven's fatal mistake tonight was when he got up there and then he voted for Joe with his own vote and really like almost like a movie bad guy, a Bond villain moment. When he talked about how I'm going to vote for you, Joe, I'm going to marinate in it. Like at that point, you knew he was done, right?
That's when he became a Bond villain and he is no longer Stephen Fishback, but he is truly Stefan Fishbach. Like that's the name of the bad guy. I don't think that that's the fatal mistake, but I mean, that's the
two fatal mistakes for Stephen tonight. One was talking about when he said, I know I shouldn't say this, but I feel like I'm in a really good position right now with everything going on in the game. And I know that when you say that, you go home, but I do feel like that I am right now. That was mistake number one. And then when he was marinating in Joe's defeat.
Careful, marinating in some stuff in this episode.
Yes, that was, yeah. Yep. Or, Abby, what do you think? Abby Maria's new nickname for Steven, Poopy Pants. Do you think that will stick?
I don't know. I think let's not talk about stickiness and poopy pants in the same conversation. I think that.
Too soon. Sorry.
It was a fishy situation. Man, it really was. That hashtag severe gastrointestinal distress is real. It's real. What a bummer for that to be, a true bummer for that kind of dung to be flung all over Stephen Fishback on his way out the door. That really sucks that that's part of his exit narrative. That sucks. It's terrible.
All right. Well, that
was really, funny, but it was just awful.
A lot of stuff going out there. Let me just say, if we're going to start to eulogize Stephen a little bit, kudos to Stephen Fishback, because I did not think, and I was really like watching this episode, I was like, oh my God, like Stephen Fishback is about to hit day 30 on Survivor. I did not think that he would do as well as he did. I'm quite proud of his performance this season. And what I really respect about what he did was that he did not play timidly and he went back with his second chance and played quite bold and quite aggressive. And while I don't have a ton of regret and, you know, thinking about, what I would have done differently on my second chance, which did
your
not
life
go,
is fine.
My life is fine. But my second chance did not go nearly as well as Stephen Fishback. And I did, while I do advise caution, and I think that the penitent man will often pass in Survivor. You know, I would have loved to have gone down swinging in my second season than, you know, going down looking at a called strike three when I didn't even know I had two strikes in the count, you know. I don't.
It's a sports. I don't know.
Yes. But that being said, so I'm very, very proud. I am wearing I'm wearing the Stephen Fishback wine and cheese shirt tonight as a show of support. I threw that on after the episode. So kudos to Stephen. I'm very much looking forward to that exit interview on Monday.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone wants to see you and Steven talking together again about Survivor. So I can't wait for that myself. But no, Steven was, you know, he went out there. He had placed second before. That happened. He made it to final tribal council and he lost decisively. And I don't think he wanted to repeat that. I think he wanted to win. And if that meant playing hard and going home before final tribal council because you're playing too hard, because you're playing too aggressive, because you're making too much moves and you're making too much noise, then I think that that was a risk that he seemed to be willing to take. He provided some incredible television this season. What more can you ask for someone who's going to be on Survivor and not win this thing? Please just entertain us. Entertain us. Go out there and make us happy. And I think that Steven absolutely did that. I thought that he was terrific this season as far as being a character, and he had some big game moves as well. So kudos to Steven. I co-signed that. It was really fun to have him back on the show.
And I would argue potentially, Josh, Steven Fishback's fate here in this game, where he is, you know, overly aggressive and tries to make a move. It doesn't work. He goes out and, what a good sport, walks out with his head held up high. Isn't that a better fate than, had this plan worked out, they choke this thing down, get to the final five, and then Steven ultimately loses to Jeremy, and it's the same exact outcome as his first season in the final tribal council?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, totally, this is better. So.
I completely agree. What's the point? He had second place once. Yeah. He doesn't need to do that again. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Steven Fishback as a juror.
Yes.
I think that's going to be really fun. I can't wait for his jury speech. I'm also at the edge of my seat for Ponderosa.
Oh, yes.
Ponderosa just got very interesting, because let's think about the numbers at Ponderosa. You've got the Savage and Wigglesworth alliance in one hand. You've got Cass and now Sierra. That's a pair. And where does Fishback? He's the swing vote at Ponderosa right now.
Swing vote at Ponderosa.
He's the president of Ponderosa.
I would argue that this was a worse night for Jeremy than it was for Steven. Because now Jeremy is, I think moving forward, Jeremy is in a severely compromised situation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, agreed. He's in a tough spot. His number one guy just left. It depends on what Spencer's motives are here. You know, is Spencer going to turn around to Jeremy and say, I wanted to be your Fishback. I wanted to be your buddy. I felt like I was getting boxed out of this thing, and now you and I are back on the same page. Is he going to bring Jeremy back into things? At what point do people realize that, yeah, we had an exposed Joey Amazing and we didn't take a shot at him? Should we start thinking about doing that next? So, you know, maybe Jeremy's not the first person up on the list to get knocked out next. But he's certainly not the kingpin that he might have been a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, I think that if I had to call it, I would say that his name is going to be the number one name on the list for next week. Now, again, if Joe doesn't win immunity again, then maybe then that becomes the spot where everybody takes the shot at Joe. And don't forget that Jeremy still has the hidden immunity idol in his pocket, and at some point could use that. What about the eulogy for the vote steal? We've seen the vote advantage used two seasons in a row. Both times, the person who used the advantage, Josh,
yeah,
Steven said it's kind of a disadvantage. Is the advantage cursed? Both times, Dan Foley and Steven Fishback, when they've used their advantage, they are the person who got voted out.
Yeah, I know. The thing is that Steven's could have worked. You know, if it was more of a question of trust with Spencer, and Spencer jumped ship. Spencer decided, I want to do a different thing. I don't want to be JSS anymore. I don't want to be with Jeremy and Steven and Tasha and Kimmy, at least not right now. It wasn't so much the advantage itself that was the problem. But yeah, I mean, I think it's three is a trend. So if we get on 32, someone gets an advantage and that person goes home, then I think that we might be looking at a cursed advantage.
Ironically, if Steven would have done the Dan Foley and just put the two votes on Joe, then that would have been, as long as he keeps voting, he'd be okay.
Yeah, we'd be in a tie at that point, right?
Yeah, and then on the revote, then I think it works out, right?
Yeah, I think
Does Joe get to vote on the revote?
Oh, I don't know how that works. He didn't steal that vote.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't be able to vote because he'd be in the tie. But yeah, I mean, Joe was exposed and they didn't take the shot at Joe. Can you believe that? Was that how big of a surprise that Spencer doesn't take a shot at Joe there?
It was surprising. It really was, to not ultimately end up doing, because I know Steven's a threat, and I guess you don't know necessarily that he's going to be using his advantage. But I mean, if you are, and maybe Spencer is feeling good because he won immunity here. If you are Spencer now and you're going to try to move forward with Joe, can you beat Joe out?
I don't know. I mean, if it's all feet challenge, then yes.
I guess so. But I have to say, my one complaint here is I didn't really feel too nervous about Joe, because I feel like the Joe did not get a lot of airtime for what would have been his boot episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you cast it across the first half of the episode and this half, I think that it would have been enough. I didn't think it was going to be Steven. I was really surprised that Fishback was the one who won.
I kind of thought that maybe we were going to see the old Christy Smith move and Abby Maria might have gone home.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Dynamic episode, level one.
And I feel like there has not been a sub-level one episode maybe since Monica Padilla.
Ah, man. And even that was, you know, fun in its own way.
So. Okay.
It was okay. It was all right.
All right. So we're going to start to get ready for some questions. We're already an hour plus into this thing, and we're going to start to take your questions. Okay. A couple of things we want to talk about. One, evolution of strategy. Josh and I have rewatched all 30 seasons. It's been so informative to talk about this season. We've got a new chapter yet, but
Volume 4 is here.
A new way to enjoy it. We are going to be releasing the full package of all 30 seasons in one shot. That up until this point they've been sold Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. Just in time for the holidays, we're releasing the box set of all 30 chapters. That's going to be available starting tomorrow at evolutionofstrategy.com. Plus, it's 25% off the price if you were going to buy all three of them together. So you can check that out at evolutionofstrategy.com. Or you can also enjoy Chapter 1 for free, the Borneo chapter here, all about Kelly Wigglesworth, the Survivor Blair Witch Challenge, I don't know, and much, much more. Evolutionofstrategy.com. You hear Chapter 1 of Borneo completely for free. And I'm telling you, the Survivor off-season, the best time to enjoy the Evolution of Strategy, if you want to get ready for that. Plus, also, I am wearing my Stephen Fishback wine and cheese shirt tonight. For those of you guys watching here on the live version, if you can see that, if I move out from my microphone.
Handsome, Rob. That's so good.
Yeah, the RHAP shirts, the bell shirts are going to be here for the holidays. It's the Carol of the Bells. Silver bells. Yes, that's right. So our jingle bells are here. So the bell shirts are back. Plus we've got hoodies. We've got a special holiday version of the shirt that we've had here on Rob's podcast. And people are always asking, when are we going to have them back? So we have them in time for the holidays. Go to robhasawebsite.com/RHAP shirts. robhasawebsite.com/RHAP shirts. And the hoodies are very, very nice, very reasonable. Okay.
I think we should also just say that the Evolution of Strategy thing, not an actual box set. Don't get your
own. No, you don't get it. There's not a physical box set.
No physical box.
Yes. Yeah, so up until this point, this is like, the trilogy. You can own it all together.
Indeed. Exciting stuff.
All right. Here we go. So ready to talk about question number one.
All right, here we go. Carrie Graveline always gets the first question. I love it. All right, Carrie says, Jeremy played that awesome for TV, but should he have warned Steven before to discuss using the advantage, or was his surprise idol play the best move? What's your take on that, Rob?
It sounded like from the episode that Jeremy decided to do it when it looked like that the votes were going to go against Steven at Tribal.
Right. I think so. So you think that was a game time decision? You think that that was an on the fly decision?
I think that maybe it was the kind of thing where Jeremy was considering it up until that point and sort of like marinated on that a little bit, and then ultimately decided to do it at Tribal Council when he felt like maybe Steven might have given like a really good answer that made him really trust Steven even more.
Yeah. Oh man, RIP that idol. That idol, which kept Steven alive for one more episode.
Yeah.
That was good. This is from Pad Tad. If Jeremy didn't play the idol for Fish, Spencer would still be with Jeremy? Did Jeremy make a wrong move? He loses Spencer and Fish. Do you think that there's any validity to that Jeremy playing the idol for Steven costs him Spencer? I mean, Spencer had already voted for Fish back that night. Is this a no going back move for Jeremy when it comes to his relationship with the young lad?
It really did not work out as good as Jeremy would have hoped, because he lost Steven, he lost his idol, you know, and potentially he lost Spencer. It could have been like a golden sombrero in terms of losing on all three of those things. And so we'll see where Spencer ultimately wants to go with Jeremy next week.
Right. Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see. All right. Seriously, Ref, why did Jeremy trust Spencer after seeing him aggressively try to vote out Steven at the previous Tribal? So, yeah, the fatal mistake here is trusting Spencer with the plan, thinking that he is part of this crew We're talking about it from Steven's perspective of, did he trust Spencer too much? How about from Jeremy's perspective? Why did Jeremy trust Spencer as much as he did? Do you think that, obviously he made a mistake there because he was on the wrong side of the boat?
I feel like that for the most part, people do seem to always love Spencer and want to trust him and want to work with him. I think the only time you see people say like, oh, we got to vote out Spencer. He's too good. He's too good. We got to vote him out. He's got too much going on. So I think that he's a nice guy that we know Jeremy likes his impressions that Spencer does. Uh-huh. I think that he's sort of like, I think that Spencer can be very earnest with people. And it's like, yeah, you know, I just don't trust Steven with this advantage and everything like that. And I feel like that Jeremy thinks that, you know, Spencer is one of the numbers for him.
Right. Yeah, I think so. So now that Spencer has done this, and now that he is at least temporarily turned to the side of Joe, Keith, Wentworth, and Abby, where does that leave him in terms of the game, in terms of people's perspective of Spencer? If that was the view of Spencer before, that he was kind of just this agreeable young lad that everyone wanted to talk to and work with potentially and, you know, feel good about, does this out him a bit in terms of somebody who's playing a little bit more vicious? Do you think that this is something that people are going to be looking at?
Spencer may have gone full Vlachos.
Full Vlachos? He finally went full Joffrey.
Yeah, he did. He became the guy that he always wanted to be. Now, I mean, he hasn't been a super villain about, like, he did seem like maybe to have some animosity towards Steven, but he wasn't really a jerk about it in any way, shape, or form. But this could be a total heel turn for Spencer.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was an about face for Spencer with Steven in this episode. For sure, but it did feel like it was mostly business. You know, it didn't feel personal, so I appreciate that. But man, it's a dark time in RHAP. I'm telling you, it's the Rahap wedding.
The Mr. Survivor debates should be pretty lively this year, Josh.
Yeah, well, listen, I know that Fishback's got his fans here, but with the poopy pants thing, you think that he's still gonna make
it? Oh, come on, that was one day.
I'm going to vote for Steven, but I could just see that some people might not want that in their Mr. Survivor. That's a skeleton in the closet you don't want coming out.
Boy, it could be. Could you imagine a debate? Maybe Spencer, Joe, Steven?
Oh, man. Jeremy's not getting the call.
Where's Jeremy? Is Jeremy in all this? We might have to go final five on the debate.
I think you're going to have to expand the group.
It's going
to
be like the Republican primary. We'll have like 17 podiums.
Who's Trump?
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, God. All right. This is Andy Pfeiffer. You like the 3-2-1. What are your thoughts on the 4-3-2?
So the 4-3-2, you know, I didn't really get why the other group was doing their vote split in that first tribal council.
Right.
Being two votes on Kimmy.
Right. Kimmy was the backup plan there. Well, I think that, you know, the idea is, you know, if idols are still in play, that's and obviously we saw an idol was in play. You know, I think that we got it on. We've been getting it in social media, but not a ton on the show, that Fishback and Kimmy are really, really tight. And we did hear that a little bit in this episode. So I guess if they're trying to undercut Fishback and they can't get Steven out, then get rid of his, you know, his Wigglesworth, I guess, in a way. Get rid of Kimmy there. So I think that's why they're targeting her.
Let's take another question. Survivor Central wants to know, now that everyone had their perfect shot to get out Joe, of course, we all know with Joe,
he's perfect. He's perfect.
And it passed. Is it now socially acceptable to actually root for him to win?
I think it was always socially acceptable to root for Joe to win. I think if you looked at, you know, if you ask my mother-in-law, it's socially acceptable to root for Joe. I think if you ask most people's mothers-in-law, they would say it's socially acceptable to root for Joe. No, I think that this is something that I would like to stop down for a second just to talk about Joe not getting voted out here, not winning that immunity challenge. And, you know, he says in the episode, now I have to rely on my social skills and the relationships that I built in the game. This is the first time in the entire 29 days of Survivor Second Chance up to this point that Joe is vulnerable for the vote. And he dodges it. How much credit do you want to give to Joe for, you know, wiggling his way out of it?
None.
Zero. 0%.
No, I felt like that. I thought that Joe was getting like the Brenda Lowe edit a little bit of it. They talked about how like Joe was not going to scramble. that Joe, right. This was the one time that Joe was vulnerable and he wasn't going to scramble. And it seemed like it was Spencer and Kelly Wentworth that changed the tide. Like I didn't see Joe campaigning to stay.
But you give no credit to Joe for having, you know, strong enough relationships with Spencer and Wentworth to keep him in when he is such a clear and present challenge threat. You assign him no credit whatsoever for having the relationships to be the guy who is less attractive to be voted out instead of Fishback. That Fishback is for the first time more attractive than Joe in terms of getting voted out. You give no credit to Joe for establishing those relationships with the people who stayed.
I don't want this to be an anti-Joe take. I feel like that Joe was very well liked in his first season by a lot of the people that he was there. And if anything, Joe was too well liked in terms of what he was doing in Survivor Worlds Apart. So I haven't seen a quantum leap in Joe's social game between what was going on in Survivor Worlds Apart, where other than Vince Sly, he was pretty beloved by just about everybody there. And then in this season, it seems like people like him. If anything, we're hearing people like Abby Maria saying that Joe is arrogant. And right. Then in terms of that, when he was vulnerable, that literally came up. And Joe said he's not scrambling.
Right. So what do you think that it says that we're going to keep this guy in the game, that we would rather have Joe in the game and his potential to restart another challenge run? We would rather have that in the game than Stephen Fishback in the game. There's a lot of talk when it comes to Joe. You got to vote Joe out the first shot you got, because when he loses a challenge, he could just win his way to the end, and then he gets to the end and he is decisively going to win the vote. Is that narrative false? Is the concern that if Joey Amazing gets to the final three, he is a lock to win? Is that hollow? Does that narrative not stay?
I think it was more true in Survivor Worlds Apart than it is here. I don't think that he is a figure that is just totally beloved by everybody there. I think it was probably more true in Survivor Worlds Apart. And I think that they were more afraid of Steven and his advantage in the game than they were of Joe ultimately going on the run. But now you have to be careful. Because you had your chance, and we talked about this a lot. Will Joe win every single challenge the rest of the way? I said, no, I don't think that he will. Now, it turned out that was right. They did not take their shot. But now he's closer to the end, I think, than Mike Holloway was when his run started.
So, you know, we've talked about it last week. Is it like absolutely insane to think that Joe could run his way to the top and now the run's interrupted? But could he restart it? Is it possible? Could he do it?
Yes, he could.
Yeah.
He could. It is now, I think seven challenges we said in between. We talked about this with David Bloomberg of Joe's possibility, you know, and it really came down to what percentage chance does Joe have to win just any given random challenge. We talked about whether is it 60%, is it 90%? We said, okay, well, Joe's odds are not great. If he has only an 80% chance to win every single challenge, he has less than a 27% chance to win out. Now he only has to win five challenges, and that's very doable for Joe. And he can find an idol along the way.
Yeah, he could. He could. Yeah. It's amazing. Is Joey amazing? It's possible. Anything's possible. All right, this is from Lindsay Wilson. Is it just me, or is this one of the hardest seasons to watch in terms of conditions? It was painful watching them. I mean, we can make fun of Poopy Pants all day if you want. We've been here for a while already. But just, you know, the situation that Steven was going through and that everybody was going through, with just getting pommeled and pommeled and pommeled by rain, and everyone's just shaking and they're freezing and they're miserable. This is some of the hardest Survivor to watch on that level that I can think of in recent memory, at least.
Yeah.
What do you think is the closest horrible conditions to this season? Maybe Philippines? Was there one worse than Philippines?
Yeah, Philippines. Philippines seemed like it was a constant downpour, and maybe there were times, especially in like the first 12 days of the game or so, for the Matt Singh people, that was particularly bad. Survivor Samoa also at the point where Russell Swan went out of that game, and Eric Cardona had to live in a tree. That was also, I think, probably equally as bad. I think that there might have been a couple of days in the All-Stars and Panama, where you have I remember some really bad times in Panama, particularly when everybody, like, they're eating the fish raw because they have no way to start the fire and everything is wet. The worst thing about Survivor is the rain. That it's not the hunger, it's not the heat, it's not the conditions, it is always the rain. And the more wet you are, the more miserable and more cold you are, and there's nothing that you can do to get warm. And the producers had to have said, like, this is so terrible for these people, we have to help them.
Yeah. They don't want that blood on their hands. So I'm glad that they did that. I thought that was great. But yeah, this was a difficult episode to watch. Just the constant downpour. And if that's the trend of the rest of the season, that it's just gonna be raining the whole time. I feel horrible.
I hope not. Let's a few more questions tonight.
All right. This is from Anessa Sarah. Let's not forget, Stephen Fishback took Spencer under his wing and vouched for him to Jeremy when the tribes merged. Are we talking about the first swap? Yeah, probably. Things seem to be fine with Steven and Spencer. Tonight was a big blindside for us too.
I have never even heard a whisper that Steven and Spencer were. But you know, it, just like thinking about it though, I don't feel like there's been too many like jokes on Twitter or anything like that or anything like, maybe there could be some smoke and fire there.
Right. I don't know, man. This came out of nowhere. It's a real blind spot.
Hey, Mike, not in Parma, wants to say, why not go after Jeremy? He's a bigger public threat after that idol play.
Well, because Fishback still had the advantage, and the plan going to tribal was, let's get rid of the guy with the advantage. I don't think that anyone is thinking, as we talked about, I don't think that anyone's thinking Jeremy's got idol number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, in terms of like, let's get rid of the guy with the weapon, let's disarm somebody. It's probably gotta be Steven.
Okay. Let's go to Jim Rosario, who says, was Stephen Fishback wrong about going on reward challenges? That he said that's where you build the bonds.
Right. Did he lose the game at a reward challenge this season?
Get over it.
Did he lose the game by going on a reward challenge?
No, he did not.
No, he didn't.
I don't think so. I mean, they talked about it while he was at the reward challenge. Spencer was really hard on Steven. I thought that was where Spencer was the most catty about Steven, when he's like, really, Steven, the so-called survivor know-it-all,
wow,
took Jeremy and Tasha on reward?
Yeah. Good luck getting that Gilmore Girls podcast going, Spencer, after that line. I got the keys to post-show recaps.
Yeah.
Team Fish over here. No, he can podcast about that at any time. That's going to be bringing in great numbers. Yeah. That was funny, though. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, a lot of Survivor Know-It-All talk tonight, Josh.
Oh, it was great. Listen, they're advertising all our shit.
Yeah.
This is a good time to be alive.
Good stuff.
Great time to be alive.
Very good stuff. Okay, what about this one? What about the Zeddy boy?
All right, the Zeddy boy says, if Fish didn't tell anyone about his advantage, do you think he would still be in this game? Yeah, that's something that Steven ends up doing. He tells Jeremy, he tells Tasha, and then he chooses to tell Spencer as well. We saw, we've talked about this with Steven in the past, about how Steven likes to look at, the immunity idol, specifically in token genes, kind of as a rallying tool. We could all rally behind the fact that we've got this idol. And I think that maybe he's starting to do the same thing here with the advantage. He's trying to pull everyone around him with the advantage. But Spencer is the guy who ultimately, slides the dagger through his ribs and decides to betray Steven. Do you think that he would have done that anyway if Steven hadn't revealed what the advantage was? Do you think that Spencer was already leaving?
I feel like that it's hard to say. It's hard to say. If Spencer didn't know about the advantage, would he have still done it? It's more if he didn't know about the vote split, he wouldn't have done it. I think that that was more the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But unfortunately, that was, all good questions for Steven and for Spencer as we go along. Jen Manning wants to know, did Steven Fishback follow most of the 49 laws of Survivor? Did he outshine the master by creating a compelling spectacle?
I leave that to you, Rob.
Well, okay, well, the idea of don't outshine the master is that if you are sort of like these apprentice to somebody, you don't want to do anything that makes people feel like, oh, that guy might actually be the master. So he didn't do that to Jeremy. Like, if you said that, okay, well, Jeremy was the master, that Steven did not, outshine him in some way. So if you're saying that, okay, was Spencer Stephen's master? No, so I don't think that that ultimately applies here. And okay. Did Stephen create a compelling spectacle? No, I would say that Jeremy did when he saved Stephen, and maybe that got Tasha on board, and that really brought in Stephen's loyalty, but it might have alienated Spencer to some degree.
Got it. That all sounds sensible to me.
All right. Fuggy Bootenlang says, a meta question. Has this episode been too much to process all at once?
It's a lot. It's a lot. This is a difficult one. I mean, one episode of Survivor Second Chance is complicated enough, but put two back to back and come on the air on the eve of Thanksgiving. My brain hurts. My head hurts. I have a headache.
Yeah. Okay, let's do two more questions. Joseph wants to know, what do you think Jeremy needs to do going forward after losing his closest ally?
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking about how Jeremy was kind of in kingpin status, where he really did seem to be in a great spot in the game. He is now, he's lost Steven. He's lost a guy that he was willing to play one of Val's idols on. And he is, you know, he's in this position with Kimmy and Tasha. They were on the wrong side of this vote. What's his move? How does he stay alive here? What is his next thing that he has to do here? How does he stick around a few more votes? He's got an idol. What does he have beyond that?
Okay, so I think that his move is he's got to try to get people turning against Joe. If we go back to the idea of the voting blocks here, now we're at final eight. If there's a voting block that's Tasha, Kimmy, and Jeremy, that's three. Abby Maria is probably with Kelly. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have with Keith Nail and Joe and Spencer. So I think the move is to try to bring Spencer back in and then try to go after Joe Brochacho.
Time to get rid of the Brochach.
I think so. And maybe you can bring in Kelly and Abby Maria and try to go after that. But it's tough. It's an interesting setup here. So final eight, can you believe it? Keith Nail's still here.
Keith Nail! Yeah, Keith Nail's still here. I love Keith Nail. I'm glad Keith Nail's
He's
still
coming
here.
Into his own this season.
He was already there, Rob.
Okay.
Maybe you're just coming around.
All right, last question, Josh.
The Coconut Phone says, is the idol clue being randomly given to a player better than rewarding those who hunt for an idol clue? How did you feel about the way the idol clue was handled in this episode, in the reward challenge, where it was just going to be mixed in with one of the answers?
I mean, it certainly happened before, whether it's in a napkin or it's in a bowl of popcorn or it's in a toolbox or, you know, we've had all sorts of different ways where the idol is just sort of like falls into somebody's lap. Somebody goes into coffee beans and pulls it out. And so I didn't really have an issue with it. Probably you would want to have it where the person who's out there hustling ends up getting their hands on it. But, you know, no issue with that. And it was definitely much more exciting than Jeremy finding his second idol, where Kelly had to sort of go under the shelter.
Right. I think that and I like it too. You know, when they do have like the idol and the napkin, it's like, well, it's just who's going to sit down in front of that thing. This felt like a lot more chance. It really was just like who gets to this station at the time that this idol clue is still in play. So I liked it. I thought it was great. I loved that challenge. It was awesome.
All right, Josh.
Wait, there's one more. Can we do one more? Can we do one?
Yes.
This is from Beatrice. Beatrice Camilla says, third time's the charm, right? Is it too soon to hashtag bring Fish back campaign? What do we think? Steven Fish back round three? Has he made the case?
Should Steven have a third time on Survivor? Well, I guess the best question for Steven is probably, does Steven want a third time on Survivor? I mean, ultimately, what is Steven going to go out there to prove? Is it Steven has to win the game? Is there some like element to his game that he feels like he still can have? I do feel like that Steven's second time was more successful than JT's second time. True or false, Josh?
I think that's mostly true. I think that's mostly true.
Yeah.
I mean, they both had, you know, kind of wacky endings. A goofy edit.
Yeah.
It feels perfect. You know, I feel like the two of them.
Synergy.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I think that the yin and the yang of Steven and JT, I feel like the circle is complete.
Yeah. Steven third time around. Sure. I'd do it.
I'd watch it. But I feel like he did great. I think he delivered on everything we could have asked for him. You know, he promoted our audiobook. He promoted the podcast. He was very fun on TV. He was part of some really great votes. So I think that everything that Steven set out to do, I think that he did a great job. Very happy with Steven Fish back on Survivor this season. Sad to see him go.
Sad to see him go. But we love to watch him leave.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, we do.
Listen, so, not this week.
No, we'll waddle that anywhere.
All right. So, but we talked about this before we came on, but we didn't talk about it on the show, that there's been some screen grabs of Spencer when he voted for Steven. He put a bell on his card.
Was that like his mea culpa? It's like, I'm sorry, guys.
Was that I'm sorry or ding this?
Yeah, ding this. Cha-cha. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
Okay. Spencer, all right.
Yeah, on thin ice, that guy. He's on probation, I think. Probation.
All right. So, Josh, what's the hashtag?
Oh, what's the hashtag? I mean, RHAP Red Wedding comes to mind. We had a, I think you said, did you say piggy situation at one point?
I did.
What else do you got?
That's all. We've been so busy with everything going on that we had not too many hashtags in this episode.
No time to stop that and scroll down some hashtags.
Okay. All right. So let's marinate on that. Maybe something about marinating. Because I mean, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. And people are getting preparing their food.
Marinated fish.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. I like that.
All right. Okay. All right.
So get your fish marinated.
That's so gross.
Okay. Yeah. Especially, okay. Well, that's not even discussed.
No, it's disgusting.
Anything with the final destination also for Steven?
Oh, God. I think the final destination, or at least the short-term destination, is the bathroom as soon as he's done with this show. So that's a plus for Steven now that he's voted out of the game.
Okay. All right. So let's start to bring this home and get you guys ready for your Thanksgiving tomorrow. All right. So again, no exit interviews. That's coming up on Monday. So be on the lookout for that coming up with both Sierra and Steven coming up. So that's going to be very, very fun. Of course, you could follow Josh on Twitter. And a lot of people, I feel like, don't know this, that Josh Wigler actually hosts a podcast with Steven Fishback on Post Show Recaps talking about American Horror Story.
It's true. Steven and I have been podcasting about American Horror Story on Post Show Recaps, which is probably the only thing scarier than what Fishback was experiencing in that monsoon. It's always been fun. It's been fun podcasting with Steven over there, podcasting with you here. I feel like I'm at the nexus of like my estranged parents. It's been an interesting experience, but that's a really fun podcast. If you've been missing Fishback podcasting, check that out on PostShowRecaps.com.
Yeah. I was listening to the one that you guys had just posted with the episode 6 and 7 of American Horror Story. And I forgot how fun Steven is on the podcast. Like, it was very fun.
Believe me, I haven't forgotten. No one lets me forget that.
No, it was very good. Check that out on Post Show Recaps. Of course, Josh and I are also going to be live this Sunday night to recap the Walking Dead mid-season finale on postshowrecaps.com. So make sure you don't miss any of that stuff when you subscribe to postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Tyson podcast coming up for you guys this Friday. Get your voicemails in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. We'll get your question threads up on Facebook as well. And then we'll get into everything with a regular size Survivor Know-It-Alls 1 week from tonight. And can't believe it. And then we're really only like when we do the show next week, it'll only be 2 weeks to the finale.
Oh, man. Home stretch.
For those of you guys who are hanging out this weekend, maybe Black Friday over the weekend, Cyber Monday, whenevs, we always appreciate it when you think of our links for robhasawebsite.com/Amazon or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Have a great holiday, everybody. Those of you guys in the U.S. Celebrating Thanksgiving, have a great time. We have so much to be thankful for. One, because we talk about TV for our jobs, but also that you guys spend so much time with us, and we have so much great Survivor to talk about.
You guys are the best. This has been, I've been very honored to be filling in Steven's seat this season. I've been having a really good time, so I'm thankful for all of you guys who have been so kind, even the guys who haven't been so kind. It's been fun. I'm enjoying it. It's a great time. So, Rob, thank you. Thank you, RHAP. Thank you, Survivor, for continuing to be awesome. This was a great week.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. Take care, everybody. Bye. Survivor, know it all.